Hello, welcome to the weekly broadcast of Christian Temple. For the next 30 minutes, let our pastor, Brother Rob Coons, bring us the uncompromised Word of God. And let us, with the saints of God, enter into a service already in progress.
But if we stay in the mind of God, in the Spirit of God, we find that there is no frustrations. There is no unsettledness. There is no uncertainties when you're in the mind of God. When you're in the mind of God, you're in the mind of the power of God. You're in the mind of faith. And when there's faith in God, there is an assurance, there is an assurity in your heart. Like the Word of God says, it surpasses all understanding. You couldn't explain it to anybody. You couldn't begin to use any kind of vocal expression or utterances to bring somebody to understand something that is unveiled or revealed within your heart when it comes to God. When it comes to the assurance of salvation. When it comes to the assurance of being full of the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost, when it comes to knowing that you're hearing the voice of God. As it said here, as he started out parabolically speaking there, and he said, a sheep knows my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. What happens when we find people following after strange doctrines, or following after strange voices, or following after things? And we can do this, brothers and sisters, right now in our minds. We could sum up and we could say, well, we've came to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear the voice of God and we follow after the voice of God. This is speaking about the Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, the Catholics, many of our Baptists. This is speaking about some of our Pentecostals that's turned away. This is speaking about this and that. And we can apply those sayings, and yes, and we could be correct. But then yet, it's like I take the scriptures where we talk about in the Word and we differentiate between dimensions and these powers. And we think there, when we say, try the Spirit and see if it was God, and I've brought it out so many times, say, well, brother such and such, you know, come to work for me today and I tried the Spirit. He wasn't in the right spirit today. Oh, he was kind of out of tune, out of whack, or he was carnal. Or he said, hey, you know, I felt God was speaking to me, but I tried the Spirit, and it just didn't seem like that was the voice of God. And that's correct, and that's true. That if you are a spiritual individual and Spirit-led, you would try the Spirit. But so oftentimes I've brought that scripture, paralleling it now right here in the 10th chapter of John, but I've taken that scripture and said, you try the Spirit and see if it be of God. When you have a thought to go preach here, or you have a thought to go over here, or you have a thought to go help this widow, or this orphan, or do this, or do that, you try the Spirit and see if it would be of God. Let me tell you something about something that I know so well, because it's been in my life for a long time. I have compassion. I have charity. I have these things in my life, and I'm not boasting about myself or testifying of myself. I'm testifying of God in my life. And there is a compassion and a charity. And when I see people in need, it is so hard for me to bypass or to just look to my own self. I have a real problem with that. But you see, we got to try the Spirit. Am I moved to help an individual out of compassion? Am I moved out of the mind of God? When it might be the mind of God, and we've talked about this in time, it might be the mind of God that put an individual in a position or in a place of some sort of suffering or some sort of lack, or possibly in some kind of a hardship, that they could learn to exercise faith, or they could get their heart right with God, or they can cry out to God. See, it's the rich that are haughty, or it's this Laodicean people that are rich and have no need of God. And sometimes God might take them and take some of the riches away or some of the wealth away to get them into a position that he could speak to them. See, wouldn't you rather see your friend maybe go hungry a couple days and put your compassion away if it'll get him to a place that he's going to cry out to God and maybe make a spiritual contact into the heavenlies or into the throne of God, and he's going to make some sort of contact or find some sort of repentance? We got to be very careful how we judge things as such. And we could sit and people would say, I'd see people, I remember I had to offer reproof to an individual from the sacred desk as an open rebuke. And the Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love, and that others could take fear. Surely if you're in a church service or in a congregation and someone is openly rebuked, you could sit back and say, well, bless God, they deserved it. But what if you had the love of God in your heart and the fear of God in your heart? You would look and say, you know, if I gave place to that thing, God help me. I've done that very same thing myself. I've let my thoughts run wild before I've done this or I've done that, or I haven't been obedient to God or attentive to the mind of God or the Word of God. Isn't it that way naturally speaking? I know naturally speaking, you got two little children, they're doing along having fun and a great thing, and you grab one of them up from an action of disobedience and you take the belt and paddle him. Boy, that other one's a walking straight and saluting, and he didn't do nothing, but all of a sudden he says, hey man, it's time to line up. That's what children do. So we're the children of God, and when the chastening of God comes, that's what they do, is line up. I could share so many testimonies of those things happening because I had a true pastor that loved flock and loved his people, and he was a true shepherd. They say that there's in some sort of history books or different things, they say that a true shepherd would take a lamb and break its leg if it kept wandering off, because they know that it would wander off and the wolves would get it. So a pastor or a shepherd would break the leg of that lamb. You think, how unmerciful. Is it unmerciful? What's unmerciful is watching a wolf rip the fleece right off of it and rip it to pieces. But he was so merciful that he'd do that. He knew it was crippled and it couldn't go, and he'd carry it. And when he set it down, it wouldn't run off. See, we've got to find God's thoughts and God's mind in many, many things. But as I was saying here, speaking of this 10th chapter, and I use the example of trying the Spirit. And see, we could look at this, we say, well, these are the ones that don't know the voice of God. But bring this again into this second dimension, or we say in a soul realm. And then we find out this outer garment of our first birth has got that tear nature, that wolf nature. You understand? And it would be the thing that would evil surmise against God, it'll even surmise against you and the things within your own life. What you have to do is you've got to start checking these things out and finding out, what voice am I following today? This is a daily thing. This isn't something that we apply on once or twice or three times a week. What is motivating me to do what I do? I shared with you the time that Brother Pike reproved me for going over and putting an engine in a widow woman's car. A woman that was busy around the church on a daily basis. Every day you would see her there answering the phones and taking care of business and watching after the Lord's business. But I found myself being reproved because I was out of time. Not that he was in disagreement with what I'd done, but I was out of time. Those are the kind of things, brothers and sisters, that make us learn to ponder and think, now wait a minute. When you have all confidence in the man of God and you got confidence in him, you're not going to reason and try to out-question him. And he's proved himself right so many times, so you could bear up and say, well, bless God, I'm doing what the Scriptures say, true and undefiled religion. I could have spoke up and said that to him. The Bible said true and undefiled religion is such. Taking care of the widows and the orphans, the fatherless. And look, I'm doing this. But I didn't rival back at him. I didn't even think that way. I thought, God help me. God help me to be more sensitive, and God help me to be more in tune with my shepherd and my pastor, that we could be about the Father's business. If God's speaking to you and God's speaking to me, could we be in two different minds altogether? I know that there was a deal where Paul and Barnabas split and went separate directions. I know that there was times that God would suffer things to scatter abroad. But we need to come back into one mind, into fellowship. Paul and Barnabas did. It came around, a long ways around. But they came back together and had fellowship. Even though there was a cross, because one didn't think of taking this John Mark with them. Didn't think that they should. Showed himself to be a novice. Showed himself that he wasn't obedient in the things that he should have been. But one chose to take him, and the other one didn't. So they separated. So what are we saying here, brothers and sisters? He talked here about another flock, didn't he? But then he brought it into one flock. So there's many things that we got to take in consideration. But we're talking about, again, in speaking of this, the voice of God. So oftentimes we talk about the voice of God, the mind of God, the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. I probably preach about the mind of Christ more than anything. You know why I preach about the mind of Christ so much? Because there isn't any activity that I could think of, not one activity, brothers and sisters, that should be done within our life as a good soldier for Christ, as a Christian, as a born-again individual, a Spirit-filled individual. There's not one thing that you should do outside the mind of God. When you stumble, when you stagger, when you fail, when you trespass against God, when you find yourself in a way of out of God's will or out of His presence or whatever, it's all simply for one reason. And it's because you departed from the mind of God. Peter was a man that learned to exercise and find the mind of God when the Lord told him that it wasn't flesh and blood that revealed that. It was from the spirit world, the mind of God, the mind of the spirit. The spirit world spoke to him. He heard a voice. Maybe he didn't hear it with these audible ears, but he heard a voice. And he knew this voice. And when he spoke forth, he said, Thou art the Son of God. Then yet he yielded to another voice. And you say, surely it had to have been the devil. And he said, Get ye behind me, Satan. We've talked about this so many times. So we bring these thoughts back to your remembrance for you to think now. Here is a great man of God that even when he walked by people, his shadow healed people. This is a man that walked upon water. This is a man that reached down and picked up a man that was lame from birth at the gate called Beautiful, and strength came to his ankle bones and he walked. But here's a man, he said, "Get ye behind me, Satan." So we find that there's another voice. And he had to be yielding to another voice. Do we hear voices? The doctors, the psychiatrists would say you're schizophrenic. You hear voices? You have more than one conversation going on within your head, within your mind? And I'm telling you, if you're a child of God, you most definitely do. Because the Bible says that you're in a continual warfare. And the Bible says to cast down every thought and every vain imagination that would exalt itself before God. So the thing is, let's think of this. If it's commanding us in the Word to be casting thoughts down, there's going to have to be some other thoughts there than His thoughts. If it was just truly His thoughts running through our heart and through our mind, there would be no need to take thoughts into captivity. I have been rebuked by God before because I cast down His thoughts. And some thought would come and I would put it down and cast down, thinking that the devil's trying to torment my mind. He'd say, "Wait a minute." I've had him reprove me and say, "Wait a minute, don't cast my thoughts down." You see, sometimes we start getting in line thinking, "Well, I know the mind of God and the thoughts of God. It's always the Word and it's always the Scripture." So the devil knows that too, so he comes quoting the Word. If the preacher says, "Look, brothers and sisters, I've been in prayer, I've been in fasting, I've been trying to seek after God in this, and my heart is tore up. I find myself weeping before the Lord for this individual. He's left the church, I've done that, but he's in a bad way right now. We need to separate from him because he's walking disorderly, and the Bible commands us to do that. And this is the way that we rebuke him and reprove him and get him to come back into the house of God." So the minister does that, then you say, "But wait a minute, the Bible says that he leaves the 99 and goes after the one. This is what you need to do, and this is how you need to do it." See, you could take the Scriptures and be nothing but the devil with the Word of God by using this very Word of God against the minister, and for you could think that this is the way he's supposed to do it. This is why we say line upon line and precept upon precept. There's a time for casting out, and there's a time for bringing in. There's a time for plucking up. There's a time for planting. There's a time for mourning. There's a time for laughter. There's a time, brothers and sisters, for all things. And what tells us how to be in the proper time and how to be timely in those things and in the proper time is when we're spiritual. It's because there is no seasons when we're spiritual. We're instant in season, out of season. It doesn't matter because we're spiritual. We always got fruit upon our tree because we're spiritual. There is no winter time when you're spiritual. You understand that? There isn't no time when the fruit is off the tree when you're spiritual. So when we find the fruit off of the tree, it means that they're not spiritual and they've entered into a winter time because they're not spiritual. And because they're seasonal and seasons fall to man. Man is the one that has the seasons. Man is the one that sees these things. And what happens if we're instant in season, out of season, is because we're in the mind of God and we're in the Spirit. When something comes up, brothers and sisters, we don't need to have to be at a situation we got to run and pray. Sometimes it's too late. Sometimes it's too late to take time to run and pray. You say, "But Brother Rob, there's times that we got to wait upon the Lord." Yes, and there's other times that the King's matters require haste. But if you're in the Spirit and led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, you'll hear the voice of God. And when it's something that has to be done expedient or promptly or fast, God will deal with you correctly or in such a way that you'll have that peace in your heart and you will move in a timely perspective. But if you're not sure, I have people, they call me for counsel on a continuous basis. Probably not a day goes by that somebody's calling me about something or some sort of a decision. And many times I say, many, many times, my wife used to have a saying, I heard her tell it to her children at different times and things. She said, "Let peace be the umpire in your life." And I know we're not into sports, and some might not even know what an umpire is. But he's the one that's keeping the game in order and keeping the conduct right. And if it is, if that peace in your heart, because the paths of God are peace. And I'm telling you, if he's telling you to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you have peace to do it. When 1,000 fall on the right or 10,000 on the left, you have peace that surpasses all understanding and you go through it. But when the bankers can't help you or the doctors can't help you or nobody could help you and it seems like everybody helped you but God said do it and God said go and God says to press in and God says that, there's a peace there. Does that peace mean that you got it all laid out and work? See, people call this peace because they say, well, I feel like I'm to go, but now I've got peace because this one gave me a check and this one gave me money and this one's made a way and this one done that. Now I've got peace, I can go. That's not the peace I'm talking about. See, that's an intellectual thing. That's when you think, well, it's all worked out. But what happens is when God says go, and you go and you don't see that there's no way naturally, but you have peace in your heart, and you go, and then God makes a way. God opens up the doors as you walk. God opens up the doors as you go. You know why you went? Is because you heard His voice. And when your Father loves you and you follow Him, He's never going to lead you astray. And He's going to make provisions for you no matter how hard the trail is. No matter how tough the tough gets going, no matter how rough it is, you know that your Father's there and He's going to lead you and guide you through those things. I would rather be on a rough path and a rough road, a bumpy road full of potholes and full of all the problems and complications following the voice of God as be going down the smooth highway, the right, wide, broad path to destruction. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Sometimes they make it too easy for ministers nowadays. Sometimes they take and they send them out, they set them up, they got congregations already built, they got everything all made for them, got the little conveniences and the comforts of life, and here you go, we're going to give you a check at the end of the month, we're going to give this to you, we're going to give that to you, here's your car, here's this and here's that, and oh man, he's comfortable and everything's going fine. But did he exercise faith? Or did he just get hooked in with a denomination? Did he just get hooked up with good people? You see, many times they haven't learned to exercise faith, and if a minister hasn't exercised faith and had to stand in faith to pay that light bill or stand in faith to meet that need or to stand in faith for these things, then how can he teach his congregation and his people to walk in faith? How can you do it when everything's been handed to you all your life? How can you do it? Is God the kind of God that'll wake you up by shaking up your little pleasures and house of pleasures or whatever it is and shake up your little bit of conveniences? And shake those things up for you could learn to walk and exercise and trust God? Have you been in situations that where you've exhausted yourself in whatever ways and means of all of your abilities, but then yet you had that peace, but you had no idea or no way? And then all of a sudden, a way was made, but you trusted the Lord? I remember using little Kevin Beachy for an example. There was something that put in his heart, he was going. Mom and Dad said, you can't go. You can't go. Little kid, little old fella. Young at the time. I guess he wasn't probably more than 12, 13 years old. He may have been 14. I don't know. But the thing is, he said, I'm going. They said, son, you can go. There's no way. And he packed his suitcase and he said, I'm going. Isn't that the kind of faith that needs to be in a minister? Isn't that the kind of faith that needs to be in you as a mature elder or an adult in God that's been serving God and working for God? Say you give your whole life to God? Say you got saved when you was a young man or a kid or whatever? Shouldn't that be the kind of faith? But too many times it's circumstances or we hear the wrong voice. If you feel that you're going to do something for God and you start going that way and then someone says, I can't do that or you can't do that, what voice are you hearing? Is that God telling you that you can't? Does God ever tell you that he can't? He said, all things are possible. All things are possible in Christ. When you call on that name and you walk and lay that name, he makes the impossible things possible. How does he do that? Because he's God. The things that are not, he speaks them into an existence. There isn't anything, brothers and sisters, that a son of God cannot do. Nothing whatsoever when he's walking and following the voice of God. It's when he leaves and departs the voice of God. And it's when God's saying, this is the way I want you to go, but all of a sudden you hear something over here and you say, man, that looks like a lot easier way. This way don't look like travail. I've shared the vision with you that Brother Pike had. He said he's praying and seeking after God, going through many trials and tribulations and things in the ministry, traveling the country, trying to pray and win the lost, do things for the kingdom of God. And he has a vision. And he sees in his vision a big, beautiful synagogue, big, beautiful church, and seen it full of people. And the Lord said, is this what you want? And he said, a thought comes to him like, sure, that's what I want. Man, that looks good. Man, a big church, a beautiful church, people, man, and everything. Boy, that looks just like what's the desire of my heart. And then all of a sudden, he showed him a rough, hard way, a rough road to pave, so to speak. Showed him the rough way. And he said, or is this what you want? And he said, you know, Lord, you know what I want. And he said, you know, Lord, what I want and what I'm going to do. And he chose the rough road. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, your Christianity, my Christianity, isn't going to be, people like to say, oh man, everything's just going to be smooth. Everything's going to be okay. Many people judge if they're in the will of God by how smooth things are going. What if Jesus would have done that? I must not be in the will of God. These folks are wanting to stone me to death. I surely can't be in His will. Why are all these people coming against me? All I'm doing is good. I healed their brother, their aunt, their cousin. I made it as he was blind. I got his eyes open. I took this one over here. This one's family member. He was lame from birth. And I raised him up and made him walk. And these people are wanting to stone me. I surely couldn't be in the will of God. Now, isn't that a foolish way to think? We know that He was in the will of God because He is God. Amen? And we know that He done everything after the will of the Father. After the spirit world. What part was wrestling there before Calvary? What part was wrestling there in the Garden of Gethsemane? What part was wrestling, say, God, if this cup could pass before me? But then what part said, but Lord, let your will be done? What about you? You say, ye are a son of God. You say that you've been born again. You say that you know the voice of God. What part is it, brothers and sisters, of wars and struggles and fights? What part of it in you is the one that gives to the things that are unpleasing to God? What part of it is there? So then we got to find, what part are you surrendering to? What voice are you listening to? What voice are you following? What voice is it when you go into willful sin that's telling you, saying, well, it'll be okay. You know, God loves me so much and it'll be okay. I'm going to go ahead and be partakers of these things that I know aren't pleasing to God. There's many people in this church that wrestle with smoking. They are warring their thoughts, thinking, well, you know, I know God's forgiving, God's merciful, God will work with me, God will help me. I'd sure hate to think that that would be the thing to separate you from God. I'd hate to think that'd be the thing to find yourself burning in the flames of hell because of disobedience. Obedience is the Holy Ghost. Being full of the Spirit of God, that's the obedience. When you're full of the Spirit, you're going to be obedient to the voice of God. And the thing is in the voice of God is going to tell you that you don't want to defile the temple of God. And when you're doing things, then it kills your faith. And condemnation comes. And because of the allowances that you make, then you find yourself, you're not walking in the Spirit. You're not exercising faith. And you're not practicing the things of a godly spirit walk because of the allowances. And condemnation comes to your heart. You find condemnation. You find the things condemning you. And condemnation is the opposite of faith. If you want to go forward in the car, put it in gear and go forward. If you want to be a Spirit-led man, you're going to walk forward into the battle. If you're going to be a Spirit-led individual, the armor of God is protecting the front of you. Nowhere is it for the backside. And when you find yourself in willful sin and making those allowances, you've turned your back to the enemy. And you made yourself vulnerable. And you made yourself where the devil's going to get in and make a blow at you. And then he's going to get you down. He's going to get you in condemnation. You ain't going to feel right when you're in the presence of the minister or in front of the pastor. You're going to feel unclean. You're going to feel unright. And the next thing you know, the devil will have you and you'll be out of church and you'll be gone. Because of the little simple allowances. It's the small things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. The little allowances. People think this one falls out of church because of this or that. It's the little things. They start giving place to these little trivial nothings. And they give place to those things. And then Satan gets a foothold. Brother Andy was telling me he drove by a church here in the last couple days. They're having choir practice. They're all out there in their robes all the way down to the ground standing out there. Smoking their cigarette, handing it to another one. Another one takes it, and they're trying to get that thing smoked before they can go back in and practice another song. You know what I call that? Ignorance. You think that person's lost on their way to hell? Well, I'll tell you like this. I wouldn't want to be in their condition, but I will tell you like this. God's grace is sufficient. And maybe that individual might have a little bit of difference because their preacher ain't crying out against sin. They might not be imputed to them as sin because they don't have a preacher that's crying out. But I'll tell you one thing, the preacher surely isn't called of God because the Bible says when they're called of God, they turn people away from their sin. Amen. And I'm telling you what, it sure isn't a good testimony. There's a lot of things, brothers and sisters, that people make allowances for and do that aren't a good testimony for Christianity. If you're going to be a Christian and you're going to call yourself a Christian, you need to be prepared, brothers and sisters, to walk as a Christian, to be like Jesus, to be able to suffer along and suffer the wrong and always be ready to give an answer. But always stay in line with the Word of God. and stay in the Word. So we find here a voice. We find a voice that's speaking, a voice that's calling. And we think that many times that this voice has got to lead us where we want to go. But it isn't always that way. I know we could read the 23rd Psalm and we could talk about the valley of the shadow of death and He maketh the sheep to lie down in green pastures. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. A sheep don't like to lie down in green pastures. It don't want to lay down in green pastures. A sheep wants to eat when it's in green pastures. And many times, brothers and sisters, you got to understand that when you're following the mind of God and the voice of God, He is going to put you into places that you don't want to be. That's the servant of God that I know. He's going to have you doing things you don't want to do. You're going to find yourself exercising against your own life. When I say that, I'm speaking about temporal life. He's going to have you coming against your own thoughts, your own desires, your own ways, your own wills, your own wants. He's going to have you going another way. And many times God will put you on a course that seems so wrong to know that you can exercise faith to know that you're following after Him. I'm telling you, the Lord will lead you sometimes to make sure that you're following and listening to Him. I remember I was in a church service and the preacher made a plea. I've shared this with you. And the preacher made a plea in finances for a cause. And I thought, well, that's a good cause I'm going to give. So what was I doing? I was digging in my pocket. And all of a sudden the Lord said, no, don't give. I've shared this with you. Man, I felt like, brothers and sisters, that, man, I found myself in a travail. I found myself in a warfare. Now, wait a minute. This is a good need. This is a good cause. I could help. I've got the money. I've got the finances. And I want to help. I want to sow into this. And God said, no, don't give. It was a struggle. It was a hard thing, but I didn't do it. And after it was all said and done, after the offering was taken and everything was finished and everything was done, the Lord said, I wanted to make sure that you were listening to me. And the Lord spoke to me, just like I'm talking to you, and He said, you know, the cause, the need is good, but you've been guilty of giving at times and out of your own compassions or out of your own feelings or thoughts or just giving because you was asked to. We need to be Spirit-led. We need to be led by the Spirit in everything, brothers and sisters. We need to be led in giving. We need to be led in giving of our time. We need to be led in giving of everything. And if we're following God and the mind of God and the voice of God, then we're led by the Spirit and all things are in order. It's when we're not listening to the voice of God is when we're having problems. When we're not listening to the voice of God is when, brothers and sisters, that we find ourselves not giving when we should have, or we find ourselves giving when we should have because we're not listening to that still small voice of God. So there again, we've got to be careful. We have Scripture for saying why we should give. We have Scriptures for all that. So we could say, well, I'm giving because the Word says to. But, on the other hand, there's a time that possibly not. There's a time I had an individual talking with me here just a few days ago in a struggle. He says, Brother Rob, he said, I had an individual call me. Their home is going into foreclosure. He says, I'm in a struggle. He said, their home's in foreclosure. And they called and said, would you help me? He said, I've helped them in times past and they come through and they paid me back. And he says, but man, I just don't know. They're not doing right, not living right. And he goes, there's something telling me. He says, hey, you could express the love of God. You could express the charity of God and show, hey, God's blessed me. God has blessed me in the way of finances, and here you go. Here's enough to make a month's payment. This is enough to get the bill collectors off your back. Here it is. I'm going to give it to you in the name of the Lord. A free gift. And he said, you know what? He said, I feel something like maybe that's what I should do. But then yet, on the other hand, he says, I know they're drinking, and they're partying, and they ain't living right, and they ain't doing right. And he says, and there's something that tells me that maybe I shouldn't. What is that? We're talking about a continual warfare. We're talking about a man that's struggling against thoughts and against the mind. And what is the mind of God in this situation? The mind of God, brothers and sisters, is not to give. But then yet the mind of God is to give. Because both answers were right at different times with different individuals and different personalities.